All right, so today's message is Come and Join Me. It's from Matthew chapter 14. But before I start, back in December of 2015, I came home with a large package sitting in our front door, and it was addressed Ted and Sandy King. So it was from Eastern Pennsylvania, and I opened it, and there's a box full of books, and this is a book that came in, that shipment. The Circle Maker and Draw the Circle. There was at least 10 of each copy. And an old lady from Eastern Pennsylvania wrote me a handwritten letter saying, I am sending you these books that you might find helpful to your church. It has revived me and my church. I kind of skimmed through Draw the Circle, and I realized it was about a pastor named Mark Batterson who received a call from God to plant churches in the DC area. And December 2015 was right around the time that what is now called New Vine, there were 25 to 30 of us meeting monthly to really plan and dream and strategize for a new church plant. And I thought how appropriate God would send these books when we're in this church planting, planning stages. So I read through the book and I felt so inspired. I felt like I can conquer giants just like the youth are doing this weekend. And so I kept this book and I shared it with our New Vine team. And it was based on this first century Jewish scholar. And legend has it that this man named Honi, also known as the Circle Maker, he was called upon by the Israelites when there was a severe drought in the land. And so the people knocked on Honi's door and said, there's a drought in the land for years. We need you to come back and pray for rain. And so Honi came out into town. He drew a circle on the ground. He stood inside the circle and he said, Sovereign Lord, I swear before your great name, I will not leave the circle until you send rain. And as people watched, the raindrops started trickling down from heaven. And people complained, that's not enough water. You need to keep praying. So still kneeling inside that circle, Honi continued to pray. And he prayed, not for such rain have I prayed, but for rain that will fill cisterns, pits, and caverns. And those little sprinkles just downpoured into flashes of lightning and thunder. Honi continued to battle the storm on his knees. And people said, this is too much rain now. And so he changed his prayer again. He said, not for such rain have I prayed, but for rain of your favor, blessing, and graciousness. And legend has it that the cool showers on a hot summer day began to rain calmly and peacefully, and people gathered in celebration. In the Bible, when Jesus talks about fasting, he doesn't say if you fast, but he says when you fast. It was part of their faith tradition and journey. And so Ted and I take this seriously. We've entered through many seasons of fasting in our lives. And I'm going to share some of that throughout this message. But January 6th of this year, I started a 40-day fast, which just ended on Thursday. I was fasting meats. And so Friday night, some of us had a hot pot meal full of meat. Yesterday, I feasted on Korean fried chicken. So good. And what stirred my heart to enter this season of a 40-day fast was at the end of last year, as Ted and I were looking at our calendar for this year, we thought there's some major platforms that God has given to us, and we don't want to enter this year lightly. And God just kind of poked in my heart, you need to do a fast. And so I was having this conversation with God, like, how long should the fast be? And he was like, 40 days. I'm like, okay, I could do like social media fast. I could do fast of junk food. And then he specifically said a Daniel fast. And I wrestled and I'm like researching what specifically is a Daniel fast. It's supposed to be 21 days. You know, some people say you can eat eggs. Some people say you can't. There's just so many things out there. And I went back to the Bible and it just says Daniel ate fruit and vegetables. Just keep it simple. So that's what I did for 40 days. And I remember back the two fast that I did for a 40-day period over the past 17 years, there was some major breakthrough prayers that I was praying for. And coming out of this season, there was no very visible breakthrough or like, God did this. But on day 40 on Thursday, I was reflecting on my 40 days and I realized God just really transformed my inner being. Like I come out of this season just really knowing my sonship, daughtership in Christ, embracing who I am, growing in my confidence and authority that I have in Christ. So if somebody were to try to nudge me and, you know, challenge who I am, I'm like, nope, God has really inputted a deep sense of security and identity in me. And during this season of 40 days, God kept surprising me and Ted with more opportunities. I'm just going to say platforms to really influence inside and outside of the SJCC walls. And I just embraced every of those, all those opportunities. And we've been just praying that help us to steward these opportunities well. It wasn't like, oh, who are we to think, you know, that we can be invited to this or that. But God really helped us to pray, like, just steward them well. These are from me. So let's all read together Matthew chapter 14, 22 to 33. This is a very famous encounter that the disciples had with Jesus. And I want to kind of give you a twisted perspective of what I received from the Lord many weeks ago. So let's read this together. As soon as the people were fed, Jesus told his disciples to get into their boat and to go to the other side of the lake while he stayed behind to dismiss the people. After the crowds dispersed, Jesus went up into the hills to pray. And as night fell, he was there praying alone with God. But the disciples who were now in the middle of the lake ran into trouble, and their boat was tossed about by the high winds and heavy seas. At about 4 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came to them, walking on the waves. When the disciples saw him walking on top of the water, they were terrified and screamed, "A ghost!" Then Jesus said, "Be brave and don't be afraid. I am here." Peter shouted out, "Lord, if it's really you, then have me join you on the water." "Come and join me," Jesus replied. So Peter stepped out onto the water and began to walk toward Jesus. But when he realized how high the waves were, he became frightened and started to sink. "Save me, Lord," he cried out. Okay, let's go back to the first slide, Matthew chapter 14. Verse 26 and 27. So right after Jesus fed the thousands, he sent the disciples into the boat and he went off to pray. And it says, at 4 o'clock in the morning, Jesus chose to walk on the water towards the disciples who were in the boat. And it says, when the disciples saw him walking on top of the water, they were terrified and screamed. What did they scream? A ghost. As I was reading this many weeks ago, I realized that when the supernatural things of the Lord invade into our own human reality, human thinking, logical understanding of things, we just don't know what to make out of it. And so we just think it must be crazy. Those people are crazy. Or in this case, it must be a ghost. Because our human limited understanding and thinking cannot ever comprehend the supernatural things of the Lord. And so naturally, these disciples had never seen such a thing, and so they concluded right away that it must be a ghost. Jesus then speaks, "Be brave and don't be afraid. I am here." When fear overtook the disciples because they could not comprehend the supernatural, Jesus spoke these words, "Be brave and do not fear. I am here." So often when we enter or experience something that is so unfamiliar to us, we forget to ask God, "Are you in this? What are you trying to show me?" And we operate out of fear and we think, "What's going on?" So much doubt and fear that consume us. As I was entering through the season of fasting, what prayer and intimacy with the Lord does is it helps you understand when the divine reality intervenes and invades into our human reality. And I realized that God was able to open up my eyes to see beyond my own human thinking, my own logical thinking, my own limited experiences in life, to see, wow, God is beyond what I could ever imagine. Even what I could ever read about, he is in the midst of all that. And today, God is asking all of us, Are we willing to open up our spirit, our minds, our thinking, our life experiences to really have a grasp and understanding, get a glimpse of what God is able to do beyond our human ability and understanding? And he says, when I take you into these places of the divine, divine miracles, divine opportunities, divine intervention and invasion of your life, will you look up to me and receive my words to be brave and not be afraid? Because his presence is with us. He says, I am with you. I am here. And I just want to remind you, be brave and don't be afraid is the most repeated command in the Bible, because God knows we are like sheep. We are fearful creatures. He understands that. And he keeps reminding us again and again, and even in this passage, be brave and don't be afraid. His presence is with us. The next response, Peter shouts out, if it's really you, Lord, then have me join you in the water. So this is in Matthew chapter 14. At this point, Peter had been an eyewitness of amazing things, but he was just a bystander of seeing miracles happen that Jesus performed. I'm just going to go through them. This is just within the Gospel of Matthew. Starting from Matthew 8, he sees the healing of a leper. Following that, he sees the healing of the centurion's servant. Still in chapter 8, he sees his own mother-in-law healed. After that, he sees Jesus calming the wind and the waves. This is the story of where Jesus is sleeping on the boat in the violent storm. The last part of chapter 8, Peter sees Jesus casting out demons, sending them to the herd of pigs, who eventually fall over the mountain. Chapter 9, he sees a paralytic man healed. And then he sees the healing of the woman who was bleeding for 12 years, and then the healing of the 12-year-old girl. And then he sees Jesus healing the two blind men and the demon-possessed man. In chapter 10, Jesus blesses his disciples to have authority over unclean spirits, to drive them out and to heal every disease. And right after that, he sees this incident of Jesus feeding the 5,000 with just 5 loaves and 2 fish. Can you imagine, by the time these disciples conclude that this man walking on water is a ghost, and he hears the voice of Jesus, that familiar voice of Jesus, he's thinking, I don't want to be a bystander anymore. I don't want to just recount what Jesus did, but I want to experience that supernatural, divine power myself in my own life. And so Peter, he says, Jesus, have me join you on the water. In other translations, it says, command me to come to you. Behind those words is a cry that says, Jesus, I want to experience you myself. I want to have my own testimony. I don't want to just share about someone else's testimony. Make it my own personal testimony. How many of us have stirrings in our hearts when we hear of amazing stories, and there's a stirring in our heart like, why can't I have a testimony? Or why can't we see the Holy Spirit move the way he's moving in Africa or other countries? We often conclude, oh, he doesn't work here in the U.S. How many of us want to have our own testimony of what God is able to do? And if you do, Jesus is asking you today, just ask me, command me to join you on the water. As Peter said, command me to join you on the water. In verse 29, Jesus responds, and come and join me. Come and join me. He responds to Peter's request saying, yes, come. Come and join me. So the next thing that happens is Peter steps out into the water and began to walk toward Jesus. So many people, when they read about this story, they think, what a foolish man. Because what happened after Peter started walking on water? He started sinking. But who else on that boat actually experienced a supernatural experience of walking on water? It was only Peter, because he took that risk of joining Jesus on the water. And when Jesus says, come and join me, he's essentially saying, I am actively working in you and all around the world. You just need to open your eyes to realize that I am at work. Have a hunger to join me and take that first risky step of getting into the water to join me. Come and join me. That is God's invitation to each of you who want your own personal testimony of what God is able to do beyond our understanding and beyond our current experiences. Verse 30, it says, when he realized how high the waves were, he became frightened and began to sink. Save me, Lord, he cried out. So often when we start taking risks for Jesus, fear creeps in because we take our eyes off of Jesus and see all the storms around us. So I've shared this picture with you. I love this picture of the lion about fear. Let's read this together. The next slide. Let's read it down. 1, 2, 3. False evidence appearing real. The enemy's greatest strategy against God's children is lies. Lies through false accusation, intimidation. His desire and goal is to kill, steal, and destroy God's children. His strategy is to cause fear in us. He accuses us day and night, keeping us in shame and in bondage. And today we have a choice. Every day we have a choice. Are we going to submit to the fear that Satan presents to us again and again? His reality or God's reality? God's reality is that he has chosen us. We have our sonship, our daughtership in Christ. Everything that we need in this life and for godliness has been given to us. And today the question is, which reality are you going to choose? You're going to choose God's reality or this reality of fear and what the enemy presents to us. And so when Peter walks out onto the water, he loses his sight of who Jesus is. And the reality was there were storms raging in that water. But he chose to respond in fear. He chose to respond in fear, which caused him to sink. And his next cry to Jesus was, "Save me, Lord. Save me, Lord." I realize again and again, fear is real. We all face fears, but how are we going to respond to fear? So often we try to save ourselves. Our own human thinking, our own human therapy and counseling, that we actually forget to ask Jesus to save us. What high waves or fear has taken a hold of your heart and you have forgotten to ask the Lord to save me? Verse 31, immediately Jesus reached out his hand, caught hold of Peter and said, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" As I read this verse, I thought, wow, Jesus is a merciful God. He didn't just accuse and judge Peter of his little faith, but he actually pulled him out of the water. He says, "I understand. I understand you're just a human being. I understand that fear could creep into you. Let me just pull you out. Why did you doubt again and again?" And Jesus is saying, "I understand if you're going to fail. I understand if you're going to fall into fear, but just ask me to save you. I'm going to pull you out again and again." And so often we allow failure of the past, shame, mistakes we made to hinder us from coming to Jesus to save us and to heal us. In verse 32, it says, at that very moment, they both stepped into the boat and the raging wind ceased. After experiencing walking on the water, Jesus and Peter get back in. And again, Jesus demonstrates his supernatural power over all creation by just calming the raging sea. And again, the disciples crouch down before him and worship Jesus in adoration, saying, "You are truly the Son of God." So often we may experience a supernatural reality of who God is, and then we forget, and then we fall into fear, and then we make mistakes, and we fall into shame, and the cycle of rejecting God and forgetting about him. But Jesus is saying, just call out to me. I'm going to pull you out again. And I'm once again going to show you who I really am. And I'm going to lead you into worship of who I am. How are we going to respond to this amazing God? I want to share with you three principles of prayer that I've received during this season of fasting. And they all come with this tagline, "Come and join me." Come and join me. The first one, come and join me from up here. It's really come and join me to have an eagle's view, a bird's eye view of your life. The praying life is a life that is intentionally positioned to hear the voice of God. It's about aligning our life, aligning our thinking, aligning the decisions we make to hear the voice of God. Psalm 37:4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." As we position our life in prayer, we are choosing to say we delight in you. And as we delight in the Lord, he is the one who gives us the desires of our heart. And he is the one that redeems and sanctifies the desires of our heart. So we are actually praying God's heart for us. And then we see answers to those prayers. Prayer heightens our awareness of what God is doing and to allows us to understand the spiritual realities of what is happening all around us. Do you know that each of you has an amazing story that God is writing in your life? Each of your life is an amazing testimony of God. As you all know, back in March 2001, Ted and I drove all the way from Boston to California to start our two-year missionary internship. It's been 17 years now. And throughout the beginning years we were here, we really wrestled with the Lord because we were for sure hearing from God that he was calling us overseas as Alliance missionaries. And in 2006, 2007, we had to officially withdraw our names from the missionary list. And this is actually a vision that the Lord gave to Ted, and I'm going to share it. He gave this vision of, do you want to paddle your way, those small fishing boats, paddle your way all the way to China? Or do you want to get onto my fleet, war, battleship, that's filled with people, where I am driving you, where the waves are thrusting you forward into my destiny for you? Which one are you going to choose? And we had to choose this huge ship. And I understood it as this cruise ship, but Ted had to correct me this past week. He said, "Honey, cruise is not a cruise ship. It's a fleet. It's a warship. And it's not just you and me in there. There's an army in there." And so I had to find a new picture, okay? Is Mag here today? Can I share? I'm going to have some of you come and pray for Mag after the service. During my season of fasting, one day God said, you need to send an email to Mag. Because there are two visions, prophetic words that God showed me and Ted over the years. And he said it has to be on a canvas. So this last 2 weeks ago, we met with Mag, and we just shared all these details, and she's sketching, and she said, I'm going to take this assignment and put your vision onto a canvas. And so pray for God, divine inspiration over Mag to use her creative gifts. This is the best that I can do, Mag, okay? Yours. We chose to get on this war ship. And it's been an exciting, amazing journey because we are not the drivers, but we're just on it, cruising along. It's been a rough ride at times, but we would have it no other way than to have many of you on that place with us. And 17 years later, as Ted took senior leadership of this church, God gave us a very encouraging word. And he said, you could have gone all the way to China and reached one people group for my kingdom, but I have actually placed you in Silicon Valley where all the nations are coming to this little hub. And I have given you nations as your inheritance. Would you rather have that or one people group in China? We said, oh my goodness, God, your plans for us is so much better than we could have ever imagined. There's a few quotes that I want to share with you. It says, God is in the business of strategically positioning us at the right time, at the right place, but it's up to us to see and seize these opportunities that are all around us all the time. The plans of God are only revealed in the presence of God. One of the greatest lessons we keep learning again and again is that our primary calling is to God himself. It is not to a place or a people group, but it is ultimately to God. And as we cultivate that primary calling unto the Lord, he is going to set our course in a very beautiful way. A few other things I want to share with you. Prayer changes the trajectory of our lives because we position ourselves according to God's perfect will. We can't plan God's ordained opportunities, but we can seize them. They're everywhere around us, but are we going to have spiritual eyes to see them and seize them? Prayer allows us to have this eagle's view of our life. And for many of us who have gone through hardships and sufferings, we need to ask the Lord to, in prayer, help us to have a bigger picture of what you're doing in our lives. Many times we get stuck when we're facing hardships, when we're facing illness and the impossible things, that we forget that God is a sovereign God who is in absolute control. In John chapter 16, 33, Jesus says, "I have told you these things so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world." God's goal in our lives through the victories and joys and through the pain and suffering and hardship is that he is creating us, transforming us, sanctifying us to become like Christ. So sometimes he will allow sufferings and hardships. And in those seasons, we have to ask the Lord, how do you want us to walk through this season? What are you creating in us? How are you transforming us into the image of Christ? God does not waste our sufferings, our hardships, or challenges, but he wants us to see him in all of these circumstances. A.W. Tozer wrote, "What then are we to do about our problems? We must learn to live with them until such a time as God delivers us from them. If we cannot remove them, then we must pray for grace to endure them without murmuring. Problems patiently endured will work for our spiritual perfecting. They harm us only when we resist them or endure them unwillingly." So I want to bless all of you that whatever life situation you're in, whatever decisions you need to make, whatever obstacles are in your way, that you allow God in prayer to give you an eagle's perspective of what he is doing in your life so that you can continue to walk trusting in the Lord. The second thing I've been learning during this season is, come and join me, Jesus says, to receive my assignments for you. Assignments from day to day, assignments from season to season. Back in 2006, when Ted and I did a 40-day fast, he did a straight food fast. So he lost 1 pound each day. He was down 40 pounds, quickly gained it all back. But in 2006, 3 a.m., I woke up screaming my head off because I had an angelic encounter that totally changed my life. I'm not going to tell you the details of this, but it really has shaped who I am now. And at 4 in the morning, my daughter, who was 3 at that time, Abigail, she's 16 now, she's at the front of our bedroom door because she's hearing just screaming going on in my room for an entire hour. And I tell her to come in the room, and this is what she spoke. I led her through a prophetic declaration. 3-year-old Abigail at 4 in the morning. "I will stand in the gap for my generation. I will not compromise. I will choose Jesus in my life every day." For some of you who were raising young children at that time, for an entire year, our children of the church was making these prophetic declarations. "I will stand in the gap for my generation. I will not compromise." I'm going to take you back just a few weekends ago at the church lock-in. Church lock-in is known to have a movie playing as the kids go to sleep. That's tradition. But these youth right now, there's a revival going on in the youth. And what I mean by revival is there's a deep hunger and stirring in these youth's heart for more of God. And so these youth leaders, student leaders said, "Some of us are fasting for retreat, so let's not do our traditional movie." And so they planned games and all that stuff. I pick up my girls the next morning and they are sleep deprived, not because they were up praying and they were playing all night. They were actually praying and interceding for their generation all night long. There was a group of them that encountered the supernatural and they responded with fear and confusion and they started huddling together and they said, "This is spiritual warfare." And they put their gear on and they stayed up literally all night asking the Lord, what is going on and what are we to do and how are we going to pray? And so there is a group of them that stayed up all night praying and interceding for their generation. And one of the things that God showed them, the state of our youth right now, is the addiction to devices and media. And they were praying and confessing all night of the addiction to media and how that causes isolation. It was a very specific word that they received. Addiction causes isolation. And they were praying for that. And amazing, they're up at the retreat, 18.5 hours on the road. And I heard that they were worshiping and they were having a good old time. So parents, don't worry about if they were suffering. They had enough food on the bus, enough water. But I believe that God is doing something. And I remember writing an email to David Cowles saying, this dream that I had 13 years ago is really for the church, because God was giving us strategy in that he is showing children in their own generation what is going on. He didn't reveal this to adults or to the parents, but it was the very youth who chose to stand in the gap for their own generation. And so we, as a church, we need to be ready, because there is something that's happening in our youth generation that has never happened before. And we need to lean into God and ask, how are we to cultivate this among our youth so that we don't sap the fire out of them, but continue to stir this in them? Through this dream, I had to ask the Lord, how am I supposed to raise my children then? I don't know. Every day, he was able to give me an assignment of how to raise them and what kind of mom I was supposed to be. This dream in 2006 led me to open up Gateway Preschool Academy. Up until now, it's been 8 years. Hundreds of kids have passed through the doors here. And the greatest joy I have walking into the classrooms is these teachers are downloading God's truths, God's songs to these kids. Most of the kids that come every day are not Christian, but they are singing these songs about Jesus here and then to their homes. It's been an amazing thing to see God fulfilling his dreams. The last thing, Jesus says, come and join me to face the storms in your life. Come and join me to break the Jericho walls that seem impossible to you. Come and join me and receive my courage to face them. So some of you know the story of the Jericho wall that God broke down for me. This was through David and Grace Song back in 2016. Some of you may have forgotten the story. And as I was recounting this, I was just stirred up again, like, wow, we as children of God have power and authority over the U.S. Homeland Security. Angus has a huge Jericho wall to break with Homeland Security. So I'm going to ask you guys to pray for him as well. In the prayer guide I was using during my 40-day fast, it says, quit talking to God about your problems and start talking to your problem about God. Quit talking to God about your problems and start talking to your problem about God. 2016, David Song accepted the invitation to join our church staff, but his wife, her name, date of birth, everything on her legal documents matched someone on the Boko Haram list. So her visa was denied by the U.S. Homeland Security. And I remember as a church, we all prayed and we asked the Lord, pleaded with the Lord to remove this visa blockage. But there was one morning, God woke me up and said, this only can be answered through prayer and fasting, and you got to do it. And I'm like, I don't know if I have any, no one deals with Homeland Security, okay? And so God was like, you are going to do it. And you're going to invite Grace to do it with you. And I was thinking, I've never met her. I don't know what she sounds like. I've only seen her through Facebook. I decided to text her. And so we took this 40-day journey together. And just imagine, she was in Cape Town, South Africa. We're about 10, 12 hours difference in time zones. And so every morning and every night in both of our time zones, we are literally circling this situation in prayer. And day 38 comes, and I'm feeling defeated because there's absolutely no word from Homeland Security. So day 38, I text my friend in DC who is an intercessor and working for the Department of Defense. I'm going to share with you my text exchanges with her and all that. So this is dated February 26, 2016. I write in blue, do you live near the Homeland Security building? I am not sure where it is. Okay, I wanted to ask if you can do a quick prayer circle around the building, praying for release of a visa situation that is a standstill for many years. Yes, I will. I will look it up and find where it is. And then I wrote, thank you, the next day. I am ending a 40-day fast for this to be lifted, but nothing. Tomorrow is the last day of fast, and God showed me a picture of you as his intercessor to finish up this circle of prayer. Let me know. Of course, I can do it today or tomorrow. The headquarters? I think there are several buildings in town when I looked on the map. Awesome. If you can do that, it would be amazing. It's a department that issues visas. Please specifically pray for Gray Samson Song, her visa application to be processed. It has been blocked for a couple of years because her name and date of birth matches someone from the Boko Haram group. Her husband started serving at a church as youth pastor, has been traveling back and forth from South Africa. This has been very difficult for them. Thank you. Okay, I remember you mentioning this. If you can do a prophetic act of circling around the building by foot or car 7 times around the wall, like the wall of Jericho, I will walk or run. Thank you. Please take a picture of the building and send it to me also. Okay, thanks. I think I will go after church tomorrow and I'll text the picture of the building. Thanks, you are wonderful. These are what I write with my friends. Day 39 comes. And Grace writes, I had to scroll through like the past 2 years of exchanges with these two people, and I found it. I'm glad my phone saved it. Grace responds on her day 39, says, I'm waiting for the story of how my Jericho wall is going to crumble. And then I wrote, whether God comes through the front door, back door, roof, or through a window, please show up. Day 40 comes on February 28th for her in South Africa, and she wrote me a text saying, today's February 28th, we wait in great expectation for God to move things, bring down the wall of Jericho. And she wrote other things like, it's been a great season, we haven't seen the answer, but it was all worth it. February 28th, this is day 40. Irene, my friend, sends me this text and says, Sandy, I was not able to walk around 7 times around due to the nature of the building, so I walked, drove by the main entrance of the building 7 times. I couldn't take a picture of the building because we can't take pictures of government buildings. I didn't know that. Anyway, as I was driving to the building, I felt the Holy Spirit's presence specifically for the intercessory prayer for Grace, prayed for immediate release and processing. Today's Psalm passage was so appropriate for you for this prayer assignment. And so she texts me the GPS Google Map photo of the Homeland Security. So this is day 40. I go to church and Ted asked me what day of the fast is it. And I said, it's day 40, but whatever. God didn't do anything. And so he tells me to come and sit down at the sanctuary. And he hands me a letter. And what happened, the backstory was that Eugene got this letter at his home sometime. And he had asked Ted, do you want this letter? And Ted was like, Eugene, this is from Homeland Security. You need to give it to us. Even though it's addressed to David Song, you need to bring it. And so that's how the letter came to me on day 40. And I don't think I even opened it. I just saw it says Homeland Security and I knew exactly what it was. And I remember breaking down that day, just crying and rejoicing and all the emotions involved, realizing God pulled through on day 40. And I was thinking, did my friend really have to circle around Homeland Security? No. Did I actually have to go through a 40-day fast to get this visa, you know, approval? No. But the thing was that Jesus said, come and join me in experiencing the supernatural thing of what I can do for the impossible to happen. All of these things could have happened and we could have said, wow, God, this is great. But for me personally, for my family, this was amazing because God invited me to his supernatural work. And the fruit of this journey, as we started sharing testimony of what happened through this Jericho wall, there were a handful of people from all congregations. They said, Sandy, I have a Jericho wall I need to pray for. Can you show me how to do a 40-day fast and prayer? And there were clusters of people from SJCC that started praying for their Jericho wall that entered through a season of fasting. Our Arrows kids, there were about 40 of them, went through a 40-day fast as well. And if you talk to some of them, it's been an amazing journey for them. They have seen breakthrough in their own lives. Jim Elliot, I'm going to end with this quote. He wrote, "Forgive me for being so ordinary while claiming to know an extraordinary God." Forgive me for being so ordinary while claiming to know an extraordinary God. All of us are quick to sing, to worship, to testify that we have this extraordinary God, but do our lives reflect what we really believe about God? What kind of life do we desire to live? An ordinary life? Or a life that is positioned and aligned in prayer, that we would be aware and sensitive when the divine intervenes into our human realities? A few things I want to share with you from the prayer God I use. When you pray to God regularly, irregular things happen on a regular basis. If you establish a routine of prayer, your life will be anything but routine. You do not need to seek opportunity, but all you have to do is seek God. If you seek God, opportunity will seek you. God is always positioning us for divine appointments. Prayer is how we discern the next move. If you meet with God, He will make sure you meet the right people at the right time. Let God do the promoting and networking, but seek first His kingdom. Seek first His kingdom. So today, my question to you is, do you want to experience the divine realities that God has all around you? Will you ask the Lord, command me to walk on the water with you? And will you hear Jesus' invitation, come and join me? I'm going to ask Ted to come up and lead us into our response time.
Let me invite the worship team to come up, and just we'll spend the last 10 minutes just in His presence. I want to just bring to you a very simple challenge this morning. On Friday, our church, our staff, we really prayed together, and we decided that we're going to enter into a season of fasting. Now, again, you know, when you think of things like fasting, prayer meetings, you might think that it's just a religious activity that we go through in every season. But I really believe that this is a season where God really wants to show us who He really is. And even this morning, I just feel like the Lord is inviting us. He's inviting ordinary people like you and me to live in the extraordinary life. Now, I want to remind you this morning, I wish that God would do this kind of things every day, just for every one of us, but that doesn't happen. There's a reason why He doesn't do that. Not everybody got to walk on the water. 11 actually stayed in the boat. Only one got to walk on the water, and it's those people who are willing to dare God. Those people who are willing to actually say to God, that command me to come to you. I don't know if you pray like that. Do you even have desire to experience something like that? The 11 people who stayed in the boat, they're the ones who really missed out on this opportunity. So this morning, I want to really challenge you. It's not too late to join in the season of fasting. And again, I don't want to do this as a church activity or seasonal rituals, but do you really have a longing to really experience this extraordinary God in every day of your life? Do you even know what your assignment is for this season? Have you ever actually even had a bird's eye view of the reality that is going on around you? If not, I want to just really invite you to come with hunger and even this morning, just really begin to ask the Lord. Lord, I want to set aside this season to really experience. If this is real, I want to dare you, Lord. I want to dare you with my faith for you to actually command me to come up and be part of what you're doing. So let's spend just a few moments before our worship team leads us in the final song. I want to just give you a few moments to just open your heart to the Lord. And Lord, maybe along the way, I decided to settle. I just got comfortable and, you know, I'm fine with what I have and my experience of who you are. But all of us, I want to challenge you this morning. Is there more? Is there a next? Is there a dimension that God is inviting us to walk into? Like onto the the water surging with waves. Spend a few moments and ask the Lord to really fill your heart this morning with courage. Then I'm going to ask our worship team to lead us into a song.
Here I lay my burdens down, lose my worries in your love, casting every care on you. I have carried them enough. We're not alone here within His love. Emmanuel, He is still with us. When the world becomes too much, near the cross I will remain, until every fear is still, at the mention of your name.
Stand together, and I'm gonna ask you to just reach out your hands before the Lord. Father, we thank you this morning that you're reminding us there's a reality that is far greater than our own human reality. Father, we ask for your forgiveness that oftentimes we have settled for the ordinary. We just believe that this is all there is to, that whatever our mind and our intellect can make sense of, we settle for those things. But Father, you're pulling us out today just from our ordinary comfortable life. And Lord, you're challenging us with the gift of faith today. So Lord, we say yes to your invitation. We say yes to the fact, Lord, that there is a divine reality that transcends above all of our human reality, Lord. And Lord, we want to enter in with faith into these realms of life, that we want to experience your supernatural power and your glory. Father, we pray that because of our obedience and our willingness to say yes, we pray that there will be stories that will come out of our lives that will draw people into you, into your reality as well. So Father, enchant our hearts once again. Fill us with your courage and faith today. Lead us, Lord. We want to walk on the water. As we lift up our hands, Lord, pull us out of our fear. And lead us with your courage. In Jesus' name, we pray all these things. Amen.